أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونستعينه ونتوكل عليه ونستغفره ونصلي ونسلم على حبيبه ونجيبه وخيرته في خلقه حافظ سره ومبلغ رسالاته بشير رحمته ونذير نقمته سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى آله الأطيبين الأطهرين المنتجبين الهداة المهديين المعصومين سيما بقية الله في العالمين والسلام على أئمة المسلمين وحماة المستضعفين وهداة المؤمنين. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله ونستغفر الله لي ولكم. I remind you all brothers and sisters and myself to observe taqwa and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent for our sins and take the commandments of Allah seriously and turn towards Allah and detach ourselves as much as we can from this dunya and to commit ourselves to the goals and ideals of Islam, to bring ourselves closer to the path of Khatamun Nabiyyin Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and his family Ahlul Bayt Athhar alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced in Holy Quran in Ayat al-Tathir by saying إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. They are a family of taharat and purity, and their followers are supposed to be pure from sins. The followers of Ahlul Bayt have a very high and very lofty example to follow. Our lives should be pure, and if we make mistakes, we must repent and correct them and bring ourselves closer to the lives of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Briefly, I would discuss in continuation of our discussion of some of the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan regarding the qualities of Ibadur Rahman, qualities of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it discusses different qualities, where we have discussed many of these, and regarding one quality is that they do not take any life and do not take the life of other people, innocent people. The next part, it says, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, they do not commit adultery. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا, whoever commits adultery and zina, he is bound to destroy himself. He will fall in the hellfire. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, zina and adultery is a violation of all the halal things Allah has set, and a person would exceed the limits set by Allah and go towards haram way of satisfying sexual desire of a person, any haram way of doing that. But adultery is between two people. Committing adultery outside of wedlock, outside of shari'i halal marriage that has the halal ways that Allah has prescribed. For example, marriage is recommended in Islam, sometimes marriage for some people will become wajib as well. And Islam has been the most accepting of all religions currently existing in the world. There are times it even allows more than one marriage for people who have to, or some has also has a provision for time-bound marriages. So considering all that, if a person goes ahead and commits adultery, really has no excuse to commit a sin like that, when Shar'an, Islamic law, allows for so many ways, halal ways, to satisfy oneself, to basically, you know, to avoid sins. And Quran has been very clear on this subject in Surah Bani Israel, verse 32. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Do not come close to adultery. Do not go close to zina. Surely it is an fahisha. It means a very vulgar and obscene way. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And a bad route to take. إِنَّهُ فَاحِشَةً is an open sin. It's a very bad violation, evil sin, and also a bad path to take. Because it's a path of shaitan. A person who goes into this path, obviously sins are such that they continue to take a person more towards, one sin leads to another one, and another one. And it's a kind of an addictive path, a path that is a kind of addiction. Today, one of the problems in Western and materialist society is that it targets people with weaknesses to go into addictions. People sometimes, because of different emotional and psychological issues, physical issues, right? They are provided ways that cause addictions and go into bad things that directly harm the families and set a very bad precedent for the next generation. Quran in Surah An-Nur, verse number 2, it talks about the punishment for adulterer and adulteress. Az-zaniyatu waz-zani fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jaldat. The adulterer and adulteress, woman. Fajlidu, lashes. Give them 100 lashes each. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And do not show in this regard any compassion, because it is a religion of Allah, فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, in the last day. And it is so serious that وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا, and this punishment of 100 lashes to the adulterer and adulteress should be witnessed by ta'ifatun min al-mu'minin. It should be publicly done, this punishment. Obviously, this relates to the situation where, for example, there are 4 witnesses and many other conditions that are attached to that. But society must be preventing from taking the course of, for example, unlimited, you know, or basically free-for-all kind of atmosphere where people do not observe any limits. Because there are limits, obviously. Even in non-Muslim societies, the social conventions do not allow a lot of things. Right? It is considered just very bad. Although people may, some people who are really notoriously addicted or really perverted, they may violate these social conventions. For example, having sexual relations with mahram, family members. Of course, it's generally condemned. Especially in relation to a mother, for example. Stuff like that is, even those who do not believe in religion generally understand how serious an offense that is, or how serious an action it is. Well, instead of doing guesswork, instead of everybody thinking of himself, what is right and what is wrong, it is the human beings have no other choice but to collectively commit themselves to the code of Allah and Islam set by Holy Quran. and that allows for certain things and makes haram prohibit certain things. So we have the most concrete legal system that sets the limits, and we follow that because it gives us a conviction that the decisions we are making regarding our duties, halal and haram, are the right decisions. They're not based on somebody's hearsay or other things, because if something is based on social or cultural conventions, right, then culture changes. Today there's one culture, the laws of the country change, cultures also change because of media. So really, a person who does not follow the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's nowhere, he's lost. Is a person who will fall from the sky. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. A person who associates, who does shirk with Allah, that means he changes the law of Allah, accepts some other law instead of the law of Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like a person who's fallen from the sky. فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرِ. And then the wild, you know, birds, they hunt him in the air. And the ayah that I was reciting earlier, that he's thrown in a faraway place. So basically a person is who does not commit, and it relates to the families, how we bring our children up to instill in them this commitment to follow the Shariat of Allah without any questions. The questions can be about matters of faith. Everybody can discuss about matters of beliefs. Why, for example, Islam? Why believe in Allah? Why believe in Risalat and Nabuwat and all that? And they should be explained and understood. But a person who calls himself a Muslim must unconditionally surrender to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a given. That is something that is no other way around it. The only way a person who calls him Muslim is to completely accept the law of Islam as is. There is no way a person can add something to it or take out something. Regarding the purity in haya and iffat in a person's life, it is narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam that he said that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam spoke to his hawariyin, his 12 companions, and he told them, he said that Musa alayhi salam used to tell his companions, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, do not even think about adultery. Do not even let your mind stray in that direction. Do not even imagine adultery. Do not even bring or visualize in your mind, right, committing adultery. And then Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he gave this example, analogy. He said, if a person decorates his room with very nice paintings and, you know, decorates the room very nice colors and nice and neat and everything, and then lights a fire in the room with wood and everything, you know, this smoke that rises in the room, what does that do? Okay, the walls do not burn, right? But the smoke and the dark and the black fumes that come out, it's going to tarnish and basically disfigure, you know. The beauty will be gone. In the same way, a person who thinks of adultery in his mind, he will distort his spiritual face inside. Going to darken the purity of the soul will go away. Although the soul will be there, person can say, I am a Muslim, I am everything, but when he thinks about the sin, right? Because a person who thinks about something, like imagines something that is bad, right? He's coming very close to actually doing it. Very close to doing it. That's why Shariat of Islam has allowed all the halal ways of, for example, eating food. In the same way about sexual matters, halal things have been made available, because obviously the Shariat is for human beings. It's not for angels. So human beings have needs. So all the needs of human beings have to be met in a halal way. And Islamic law is very clear on this. And all the needs are met according to the law of Islam. And with respect to this, one more point is the respect of a mu'min and mu'mina are very important. If, for example, halal, observing halal, you know, actions and observing the limits of haya and iffat in Islam, they also protect a person's respect and modesty and respect in the society. Marriages sometimes, you know, are disrupted because of, in, of course, I will not use the word cheating as in use in Western society, because for second marriage, for example, in this culture is also called cheating. But in Islamic law, let's say the halal way a person exceeds, violates, if a person exceeds, halal things are given in Sharia. Still a person wants to go ahead and do haram. Even in many cases when for example, a person does not need to, for example, go beyond what Allah has given, right? Then it will disrupt the marriage of a person. It does do that. Okay, what is that? How does that affect? Many ways. Respect of mu'mineen and mu'minat. That is also. The general, for example, environment and the culture of a Muslim community, when people generally observe the limits of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this haya that it is in their souls, He spreads this haya in the community as well. Because people who observe the limits of Allah, the whole community's honor and respect is also preserved. And families are also stronger families. Look at this point of respect regarding Hazrat Maryam salamullah alayha in ala nabiyyina wa ali. In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 23, when she bore this child, she had this child, Jesus, right? And obviously she's not married and she has a child. So she's not even brought the child to the city. It's just between herself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she is crying. And she says, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. Just imagining, just thinking that what will happen when she carries and brings this child into the city and people see it and accuse her, falsely accuse her of adultery. Of course, there'll be some who will know that they are falsely accusing him. And there may be others who may be misguided to think that so-and-so has committed adultery. Just the thought that people will accuse her or think that she may have committed adultery, it was so serious a thought for her, so painful, that she said, Ya laytani mittu, I wish I had died before this day. Wa kuntu nasiyan mansiya. And I was a person who was forgotten, that I did not even exist in the memories of people. Imagine. Just the thought that people will think in this way about me. So the environment in the Muslim community should be such that people think of each other with purity. And for example, even the slightest thought of anyone committing anything haram should never even enter our minds. Even if we have a slight reason to, for example, entertain this idea, we must ignore it. Ignore such a thing. Because in the eyes of Allah, if anyone accuses another person of adultery, it's punishable. In Surah An-Nur and other places in the Quran, it talks about the very serious punishments of people who accuse others. Qadhf. Haddul Qadhf. It's a very serious violation. The people who have basically an attitude of being negative about other people, right, and easily move their tongue for slander, accusing, falsely throwing allegations at other people, these people have no place in Islam, basically. People who insult other people, especially those who have a very delicate position in the society. For example, senior leaders of community, ulama, I don't know, respected people, women, other people, is to accuse them, this is a very serious violation. And Quran talks about in the surah, in the Waqi'ah Ifk in Holy Quran, that talks about some people who started spreading rumors about one of the wives of Holy Prophet. How serious was this subject? It goes on in many, many verses. So, it is therefore very important that we listen to these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the signs of Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah, is that they restrain themselves from going into haram things. Wala yaznoon. Wala taqrabu zina. Do not even come close to zina. Which involves, for example, exposing yourself to things that will take you in that direction. Going in the areas where people are committing adultery. Being in the company of such people. Attending gatherings, you know, where people drink. Keeping away from that. Even if, for example, sometimes employers, you know, they have these events where they are serving alcohol. Employees, Muslim employees, must strongly, you know, basically, strictly avoid attending any such events, any such places where alcohol is being served. It's just reported that Iranian president was in Paris and some event hosted by the French government, they were serving alcohol. And he asked that alcohol would not be, wine would not be served so that the Iranian delegation can attend. They insisted, the French government insisted that wine has to be served, there is no other way, so they refused to attend that event. Obviously, a Muslim head of state representing a Muslim country among non-Muslims cannot allow oneself to be present in a gathering where alcohol is being served. Because alcohol takes a person in the direction of adultery and other wrong things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and forgive our sins. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين وصلى الله على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والصديقين والشهداء اللهم صل على حبيبك ونجيبك خاتم المرسلين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب عليهما السلام اللهم صل اللهم صل على صديقة الكبرى فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين اللهم صل اللهم صل على سبطي رسولي الرحمة الإمامين الحسنين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة عليهما السلام اللهم صل اللهم صل على علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والحجة القائم المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره بجاه محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. And the start of this holy month of Safar, the month of pain and suffering of Ahlul Bayt, and the month of Ziyarat of Arba'een this year, the month of when the captives of Ashura were taken into Sham, the month where they arrived in Damascus, and the court in the court of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, the daughter of Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought, and in that court of the Zalimeen, she had the courage and the piety and the greatness to and the knowledge to bring the message of Risalat and Imamat among people who thought Imam Ali alayhi salam never even went to a masjid in his life. And he changed, and she changed their minds and their hearts so much that in a matter of hours, people were shaken and they were crying and they were listening and to the words of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and crying at his words. The importance of Ziyarat of Sayyid al-Shuhada, we had a seminar here last Tuesday, and because many people are attending the Ziyarat, are going for the Ziyarat of Imam Hussein in Karbala this year for the Arba'een, it's important for us to understand the why this, how this event is important, this annual gathering for last few years, its significance, and why and with what niyat and intention people should go for the Ziyarat. Obviously, going for Ziyarat of Imam Hussein is always important. But this event, you know, like for example, in procession in Muharram, okay, people, because of their love for Sayyid al-Shuhada and also because they feel that it's a duty on the people that they must go out and take the message of Sayyid al-Shuhada out on the streets and cry and beat their chests and all that, right? They consider it their duty. Although it is not, for example, like duty of Hajj or duty of fasting in Ramadan, duty of Salat five Salat a day, right? It is not that kind of duty, but people, it is their asrar and secrets, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it a duty like Hajj and Zakat, for example. But it is because of the wilayat of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi salam, salawatullah. That people on the day of Ashura, all over the world, they come out. And they have been coming out all over the world on Arba'een as well. Processions on Arba'een are commonplace all over the world. And it is in this line of this spirit of coming out, protesting against Yazidiyat of every time, oppression of every time, and taking the side of Sayyid al-Shuhada and his Mazlumiyat and his family and his companions, that this has been building over the centuries, and right? And lately, this manifestation of this great uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam has shown itself on this march between Najaf and Karbala every year. That people come out from all over the world and they take part in this long march, you know, from the city of Najaf to Karbala. Well, if a person asks you, for example, is it a duty, like for example Hajj or Khums or Zakat? No. But it is a duty for us? Yes, it is. It is a duty because Ziyarat of Sayyid al-Shuhada is important. Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned that Allahumma salam. Among the signs of a mu'min is Ziyarat al-Arba'een. An imam who was like in house arrest in Samarra, he sends this riwayat and he says, among the signs of mu'min, five signs he mentions, one of them is Ziyarat of Arba'een. So it is important that we understand the significance of it in this time where Islam is being presented as a violent, right, harsh and inhuman religion by these likes of Taliban and ISIS, which are supported by the Western country governments and by the evil rulers of Middle East like Saudi Arabia and these countries, you know, who fund these operations. And then these terrorists, these criminals, they make videos of beheadings and they take pictures of these beheadings, they post them online. These, the Western media generally shows them. Almost graphic videos, they show them. And they would not show anything else, but these kind of things they bring out constantly. Obviously, they don't love Islam, so they will do that to bring a bad name to Islam to show. On the other hand, the followers of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, they gather, they gather on the day of Arba'een, right? Not to show support for such people, rather to show support for the innocent people, the oppressed people, those who have been beheaded 14 centuries ago, deprived of their basic rights in a society, and to protest against the killings of these people, these terrorists, and to protest against those what's happening in Yemen, what's happening in Bahrain, what's happening in Iraq and Syria and other places, in Pakistan, and lately in Afghanistan, just this week, where 7 or 9, I don't know how many people were beheaded, 4 men, 2 women, and a child, 9-year-old girl, her name was Shukriya, she was beheaded in Hazara community in Zabul area of Afghanistan. They started marching with bodies on their chests of these shuhada, beheaded bodies, you know. They marched and, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people gathered in Kabul. So you go to Arba'in to take the side of the oppressed and to show the mercy of Islam when you say, you know, how our imams have described the ethics of Ziyarat of Sayyid al-Shuhada, the ethics of that, the akhlaq of Ziyarat of Sayyid al-Shuhada. I will just read a few lines from that. You put that on display. Politically, you show, you know, what is Islam? Islam is not that. Islam is, you know, sacrifice. Islam is service and humanity. Islam is, you know, to have a soft heart and to have love for people and to serve the people in this manner. A person came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, when we go out to do ziyarat of your grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, are we doing a hajj? Imam alayhi salam said, yes. So he said, well, then is it a duty for us to do all those things that we do in hajj? Imam alayhi salam said, what kind of things do you mean by doing in the hajj? He said, kind of duties that hajjis do. Obviously, Imam was not talking about those duties because those are limited to the hajj. But Imam alayhi salam said, yes, yalzamuka, what is a duty for the za'ir of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to be very good with those who accompany him in this caravan. Yalzamuka husnus sahaba liman yashabuk. Be a good company with the people that you go for ziyarat with. Wa yalzamuka qillatul kalam, and speak less. It is a duty on you to speak less. Illa bi khayrin, except with good. Say what is really good, or don't say anything. Wa yalzamuka kathratu dhikrillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a duty to remember Allah a lot in this trip of ziyarat. Wa yalzamuka nidhafatu thiyab. Keep your clothes clean in this trip. Wa yalzamuka al-ghusl. And take a ghusl when you go before you. Qabla an ya'ti al-ha'ir. Before you come to the zarih, must be washed and clean, go with clean clothes. وَيَلْزَمُكَ الْخُشُوعُ وَكَثْرَةُ الصَّلَاةِ. It is necessary for you to be very humble, show khushu to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the people. And pray a lot. Pray a lot. وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And constantly say salawat upon the Holy Prophet and his family. وَيَلْزَمُكَ التَّوْقِيرُ لِأَخْذِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ. And stay away from things. Do not take anything that doesn't belong to you. وَيَلْزَمُكَ أَن تَغُضَّ بَصَرَكَ. And be careful of your eyes. وَيَلْزَمُكَ أَن تَعُودَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْحَاجَةِ مِنْ إِخْوَانِكَ. It is important that you reach out to those who are in need among your brothers. For example, caravans are going every year. It would be a really good idea if all the caravans would come together, go coordinate with each other, all the Islamic centers. For example, starting from Houston area, people going, booking flights together, booking hotels together, staying together, having majalis al-aza, and taking out, you know, going out for procession into the haram of Sayyid al-Shuhada. It would be so nice. When all the people are going for exactly the same thing, why can't we coordinate like we coordinate for Eid Salat, like we coordinate for Julus, for other things? Ziyarat of Sayyid al-Shuhada is very, very important for all of us. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ مُنْقَطِعًا. If you see someone who has lost his way, show him the way, help a person who has, for example, lost his money, give him something to help. والمواسات. Help the زائرين, مواسات. Consider all of them your brothers and treat them like you treat yourself. Help all the, see, look at, mashallah, these زائرين, how they are being served in Iraq. Poor people come out, they bring all their livelihood outside on the street. Everything they have, opened their houses, sometimes they sleep elsewhere, outside. And the house is all for the Zahireen of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. this spirit of, you know, and we should go and learn humility from these people. Show them that we care. And it will be a good idea. For example, people could raise some money to help these mawakib of us over there. People who are feeding these, you know, all the Zairin, millions of them coming. We as a community, if we are going, fine. If we are not going, help someone else go. Or if you cannot help that much, well, help anyway. Support, pitch in the funding, send money to feed people over there. It all adds up because it is a show of strength of the Shia community around the world. We gather on Arba'in Day, right? The Shia community is coming out of this historic, you know, obscurity. We were invisible. We are, mashallah, we are the ones in the Middle East who are protecting Islam, Islamic values. We are standing up for justice over there. We do not support aggression. We are against violence. We are against divisions, sectarian divisions. We are against, for example, takfiriyin, people who easily call others kafirs. No Shia marja taqlid ever does that. No Shia mujtahid ever calls anyone a kafir. We are people who bring people in. We embrace people and we show them the way by our good behavior. وَيَلْزَمُكَ التَّقِيَّةِ. Be careful how you deal with other people. Because taqiyya, being restrain yourself from doing unnecessary things, talking about things that may cause division between people. وَالْوَرَعْ عَمَّا نُهِيتَ عَنْهُ. Imam alayhi salam said in another riwayat, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, see this, people sometimes they go for something just because they feel like doing it. No. Of course we feel like doing the Ziyarat Imam Hussein. You go there for a social and an Islamic duty. Go there for the interests of Islam. And go there as an ibadat. Imam alayhi salam said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْمَسِيرِ إِلَىٰ قَبْرِ الْحُسَيْنِ فَصُّمْ. Before leaving for Ziyarat, fast for 3 days. Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Fast 3 days before you go for Ziyarat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. See, a person should be an abid. Person who is in the service of Allah, in the worship of Allah, the more he is, the more closer to he is for Sayyid Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah. And cut down on your speech. وَأَقِلْ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ وَالْمِزَاحِ. And jokes. وَأَكْثَرْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And remember Allah abundantly. تَعَالَى وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْمِزَاحِ وَالْخُسُومَةِ. And avoid enmity against people. Avoid, you know, holding any grudges against people. Go with a pure heart. Open your heart. Go and love people and love this. Show your love, humility, you know. Remember something in Arabic to say to these Iraqis who are serving you and thank them. You know, people come from around the world. When they see Zaire coming from outside, they cry looking at you. You know that? And show that same feeling and compassion to those people who are doing that despite all the hardship they have faced over the years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the Zairin of Abi Abdullah. This month of Safar, the month of suffering of Ahlul Bayt, may Allah accept the ibadat of all the mu'mineen around the world. Protect the wali al-faqih and maraji taqleed. Protect our holy places and our hawzat ilmiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite all people in the service of Islam, knowledge and piety, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Idha ja'a nasrullahi wal-fath. Wa ra'ayta an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wa astaghfirhu innahu kana tawwaba.
امید غریبان تنها کجایی؟ چراغ سر قبر زهرا کجایی؟ تجلی طه گل عشق مولا دل آشفته داغ آن کوچه غم گرفتار گودال خونی دل افکار غمهای زینب سیاه پوش قاسم عزادار اکبر گل باغ لیلا پریشان دست علمگیر سقا نفسهای سجا نواهای باغ دعاهای صادق کس بی کسی های شبهای کاظم حبیب رضا و انیس غریب جواد الائمه تمنای هادی عزیز دل اسکری پس نگارا بفرما کجایی 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 دلم جز هوایت هوایی ندارد لبم غیر نامت نوایی ندارد وضو و اذان و نماز و قنوتم بدون ولایت بهایی ندارد دلی که نشد خانه یاس نرگس خراب است و ویران صفایی ندارد بیا تا جوانم بده رخ نشانم بیا تا جوانم بده رخ نشانم که این زندگانی وفایی ندارم که این زندگانی وفایی ندارم